and welcome to today's Raging Bull podcast. We occasionally like to add guest interviews from traders and experts from Raging Bull's Elite Traders Chat Room. In the Raging Bull Elite Chat Room, we hold live trading sessions with Raging Bull's traders, elite members, and our invited guests. These sessions are hosted by our Elite Chat Room host, Hitha Herzog. It's my pleasure now to introduce Hitha and one of our special guests to the Raging Bull podcast.
Good afternoon, Elite Room. This is Hitha Herzog, your host of the Elite Chat Room. Thanks so much for being here. And as I told you, we have some guests here. We have Dr. Henry G. He is the CEO and founder and chairman of Sorrento Therapeutics, as well as Dr. Brunswick, who is one of Dr. G's colleagues and oversees compliance and regulatory. He's the SVP of regulatory over at Sorrento. And we also have Jeff Bishop in here, who is doing the interview with us. Dr. G and Dr. Brunswick, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much. So
we know that there is a major race for the cure here. Everyone, you know, we're seeing a lot of these economies open up. We're seeing so many pharmaceutical companies come out with press releases, data. Most recently, we heard Moderna come out with their, data saying that they have an efficacy on what their potential virus vaccine is 8 out of 8. Tell us about what you have on the table and how does your antibody test and your potential vaccine differ from what Regeneron, Johnson & Johnson and Moderna are doing?
Okay, yes. We are an antibody company, and we started about 11 years ago. We always focus on antibodies. So if you're talking antibody, we're the expert. And we have about 400 people in the company with about 100 plus people in the PhD degree and MD degree. So we are really a research-oriented company. So what we have is doing the antibody. We have a multiple antibody in the therapeutic area in the immuno-oncology space for cancer, but we apply the same technology into this COVID-19 battle with the virus. So what we have is, if you look at the vaccination, the key for getting a vaccination is generate. Your body generates the neutralizing antibody, but we can produce the neutralizing antibody outside the body. So that means we go out and looking for neutralizing antibody. So we have one of the largest fully human antibody library, has over a billion antibody, individual antibody in the library. We're screening our library beginning of the year. And we identify a few hundred of them, which binds the viral protein. After you've screened these as a hit, you do as you've testing them, see whether they neutralize it. When you do neutral, there's many ways to testing if they neutralize. One of the ways to do it is in vitro, you block the interaction between the antibody, using the antibody to block the interaction between the viral protein and the human receptor. So if you can block that, the virus cannot get into the healthy cells. So we nail down from 500-600 of them to about a dozen. And after the dozen, what we wanted to do is immediately testing the real live virus. So the virus going to be incubated with the antibody for 1 hour. So that means giving the antibody time to wrap around the virus. And we tested these 12 different antibodies in each individually. And after you have the incubation 1 hour, you're putting on a healthy cells, which is susceptible to virus infection, which is happen to be monkey viral E6 cells. And you incubate the antibody, the virus, and the healthy cell for four days. So what we measure end of the 4 days is called the viral infection signs. When you have virus infection of the normal healthy cells, they get sick. When they get sick, they will show up as a cytopathic effect or CPE. When you have a CPE, then you count them as positive. That means you did not block the viral infection. So what our goal is to find antibody or antibodies blocks completely, we're talking about completely the viral infection in a healthy cell. Because if you're not completely, let's say you have 100 viral particles, you have one escaped, that one gets into a healthy cell, they will replicate, reproduce, they come up hundreds, thousands, even hundreds of thousands or millions, then infect the healthy cells again. What you wanted to do is have identify antibody, one or two or the antibody that blocks completely the viral infection, and you want it at a very low concentration. Because if it gets to high concentration, you cannot scale up and produce and inject into the human body.
So and it's clearly
give you an example.
Right. Yeah.
Give you an example. When you do Ebola virus, the current antibody in use for Ebola is at 150 milligram per kilo. If you are a 100 kilo person, you need a 15 gram, which is way too much. What you want to get to is in the range of a milligram per gram. That means 100 kilogram person, 100 milligram, you're going to fully protect it. So that's what we're trying to do. And we actually lucked it out. 1 out of 1 billion antibody we screened, we found one, which is in the range of 30 milligram for 100 kilogram. At this concentration, let's say 0.3 milligram per kilo, you're going to be protected. If you have that antibody in your blood, you will be protected from viral infection. Now, the antibody generated from vaccine is try to achieve the same goal, is to get your body produce the antibody. But in our case, we don't need the body to generate the vaccine. As long as we provide the antibody into the body, that your body will protect it. The instant, we're talking about the instant you get the antibody into your body, inject it, you will be protected.
Now, Dr. G, this is clearly high level science, and you have been working on this for many months, if not at least a year. You're moving on to, you're now going in and getting potential FDA approval. You haven't moved on to the human phase of testing yet. So
that's what we tried to do, Mark. Yeah.
So what we are doing is we are asking for guidance from the FDA as to what are the requirements that they would have for this product. We think we know most of the requirements, and we are moving ahead with production. We anticipate having a small batch of antibody enough to treat approximately 30 to 40 patients by the end of July, August timeframe. Those patients would be in the ICU, not yet intubated, because we think that those patients might be too sick to see anything. It'd be very hard to tease out what's going on in those patients because of the virus and due to the antibody. The initial studies are to see whether the antibody is safe. And if it proves to be safe, we would then move into expanded studies into less sick patients and potentially even into the general population to protect them.
So you guys have been doing this for about a decade or so as far as studying antibodies?
So we started the company in 2009 and about 11 years. And we have been, since day one, we study antibody. And we have putting about 150 also drug targets into our antibody library. And we have a few dozen potent antibody in hand. And some of them are already in human testing. And for the oncology, since the beginning of the year, we're starting into a COVID-19.
Have you guys used it successfully on any other viruses or any other therapies?
All the other virus, because we're focusing on the oncology space, did not put into effort into the antiviral, but this one is a pandemic, and we need to put in our expertise to use to combat the pandemic.
So if you generally study oncology, how did you happen to find an antibody that was good for COVID here?
What do you do? You go to a library, right? There's a book library.
Yeah, imagine, we used to have libraries a long time ago.
Yes, imagine. Each book is an antibody. You go to a small county, you have a limited selection. You go to a big city, you have a much bigger selection. You go to Congress, Library of Congress, you have the largest collection and you can find your book you want it. So that's the same concept. Imagine the book is the antibody. So we have a billion books in our library and you just need to find the book that is fits what you want. And in this case, it's the antibody that will be able to prevent virus infection. And that antibody is in your library, but you just need to get that out, find it out, and which you will luckily find out the one really good one.
Are these proprietary? I was like,
yes.
Is something you have that no one else has?
Let's put that way. We have the largest collection of library antibodies in the library. Mm-hmm. The largest in the space. That's like we are the Congress of library in the book setting.
Sure.
Dr. G, I mean, to test, you know, we're talking about the Library of Congress of book settings, you know, in your lab, you know, when it's coming to testing for, you know, the potential antibodies or finding this vaccination. If we look at the financials, and since this is a trading platform and we look at that, when we look at publicly traded companies, you have $22 million of cash, you know, for research and development. But also your $70 million, you know, you're carrying $70 million in debt. How do you expect to fund the research and development to test all of these, quote, books that are in the library that may have this potential solution and the right combination for the vaccination?
Absolutely. So what we have is right now, we're nailed down from billion to one. So now you're focusing on how to get this one developed. And we have a lot of tools on the financing side. For example, we are sending the white paper to BARDA to looking for government support. We're actually asking $500 million from the BARDA to support our effort to not only develop it clinically, also scale up. You know, as you've seen today, the government announcing that they're paying $1.2 billion to AstraZeneca for the vaccination in the Oxford. And as you know, government also giving that $480 million to Moderna for their vaccination as well. And there's a company called Novavax. They just got another, you know, $380 million in the program. There is a lot of help potentially from government. We're looking for help from government. Meanwhile, we have enough capacity in our company. We can produce up to 1 million in the next few months. So that will be able to be available if we successfully get through the FDA approval process.
So what is the process from here? So you say like you'd like to have enough to be able to do a test in a few months on some relatively sick patients. Yes. What's the process look from like where you are today? Kind of walk us through what that would look like as far as FDA approvals.
So what we're doing right now is we're generating those antibodies, those antibodies for the patients. We anticipate we would be ready to inject patients end of July, middle of August. Mm-hmm. And that would be under a phase one clinical trial. That would be a fairly quick phase one. And we would expand into a phase two / phase three trial in the September, October timeframe. And while the initial study is going on, we would be expanding our production to use what would be a pre-commercial type product that would be used in the phase two, phase three trial. So okay. That would be using our full capacity of antibody production.
Can you explain to us real quick, like your initial tests you say were successful. What did that look like? How did you do the tests originally?
So the initial tests, was as Dr. G said, were done in vitro in the monkey cells, the Vero cells, and we saw 100% inhibition of the virus. So I like to give, for the non-scientists, what that means is if you have the cells are like a carpet and the virus is like a moth that comes and lays carpet-eating maggots in the carpet. So you start off with 100 moths that potentially will be laying maggots into your carpet, and you'll end up with 100 holes where all the maggots are. Those maggots eventually turn into moths, and then they will expand and the whole carpet is gone. Our antibody destroyed every single moth. Because if you leave one moth, that will leave many eggs that will have many, many maggots, which will then become more and more moths. Mm-hmm. So what we were looking for is something that could immediately kill all of the moths. And that's what we found.
I think everyone, you know, as at the top of their mind, they want to know timeline, which is so crucial and which is what you answered. I'm going to take a question from the room quickly. Eric is asking, can you ask how the antibodies deal with the virus mutation? Are they using artificial intelligence to crunch data?
So we actually this is a single antibody, but that single antibody can potentially put it into a cocktail. We call it a COVID shield. That cocktail could be two or three antibody combined in a one single shot. And these individual antibody, they bind to different region of the virus. Like, you know, if you do a rustling, if one guy's rustling one, the other guys, bad guys, if you have a two or three guys, one attacks the arm, the other attacks the legs, you know, all these, you have a two or three guys attacking the same thing and at the different regions of the virus, the chance of the virus mutate, escape all of them is almost impossible. Reason is if they mutate everywhere, they're not infective anymore. They not become the same virus anymore.
I have one more question from the room quickly, because I know we're approaching our limit here, our time limit. But Susan in the room is asking, do they anticipate this vaccine will be permanent like an MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, or something needed annually like the seasonal flu vaccine?
So most likely the injection we have is going to last, depending on the doses, last for months, potentially last for a year. And if you have the things coming back again, you need the shot. However, if everybody gets a one shot and none of them are going to be infected or infected, so this way you can prevent and can eradicate the whole pandemic or the COVID-19 once for all.
So assuming this works, I mean, that's really exciting. This could actually be a cure here. So that's pretty exciting. Well, I don't think people realize how exciting this is.
Yes, we are very excited. And yeah, we believe if we go through all of the tests, the safety and the efficacy test, if it demonstrate that can basically prevent the virus infection, preventing virus from replicating, that potentially could be a cure.
Absolutely.
Potentially could be a cure.
How do you think you can scale this up? Like if this works in the July, August, you know, phase one, how quickly do you think your company could ramp up production, or who do you think you could partner with to?
The technology is there. It's just depending on the scale. So we right now at the scale potentially can do a few hundred thousand doses a month. Mm-hmm. However, if you enlarge the scale to 50 times, then it gets into a few million doses. And of course, the government, if this is a potential cure, government, we're going to support you. And you have outside facility out there right now can potentially enlarge to 100-fold. And that means you can get to tens of millions doses each month. Then you can get to potentially 100 million, 200 million, 300 million doses. It all depends how do you scale up with the money. And if you get the government support or big pharmaceutical will work with you, you're going to be able to enlarge to that scale and that get everybody a shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money willing to be put to work here. So if you have a cure, you're going to have all kinds of money available to produce. That's great.
You have to emphasize the potential cure.
Potential. That's right.
Potential cure. Right. Dr. G, Dr. Brunswick, thank you so much for being here with us at Raging Bull and taking the time out to speak with me and Jeff Bishop today. Elite Room, I will be back in with you in just a couple minutes. Doctors, again, thank you so much. Please come back.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Look forward to hearing how this goes in the future. Our traders are really excited about your stock now, and we're excited about the company and the future there. So thank you for your time today.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. Discover more episodes to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.